I want to be presenting on the qualitative study among of the services, the service preferences among Latino MSM living in the Denver metro area. It's important for me to, or important for everyone to know that there is no relationship to this, disclose at this time. a little bit about the project. It was a collaboration between the Colorado Department of Health and Public Health and Environment and GSI Research and Training Institute. And the purpose of this effort was to assess the perception of the Latino men having sex with other men in the Denver metro area and the preferences of the services. And also this project this was going to help on the planning of the new funding for 2010. So this happened already. And what we decided to do, first of all, was to gather a group of members of the target population, Latino MSM, living in the Denver area, and we called it our advisory group. And part of the population who participated in the advisory group, there were 10 members, and involved people from the youth, people living with HIV, people living in a long-term relationship, people with college education, and high school education as well. And there were some of them were bilingual and some of them were monolingual as well. What the advisory group provided some information on how to develop the tools that we needed for the project, and that included the flyers to be distributed among the venues that the target population would visit often, also to create the questions that were going to be developed for the focus groups and the interviews, and also helping us to recruit some of the people participating on this study. And the last thing, we conducted a focus group, and what the Department of Health in Denver provided was a guide on 4 questions, and I want to go through them, and what specific information we wanted to know from the target population. And the last thing that we did was the analysis of the study, and we presented all this information back to the Department of Health as well as to the newly funded organization who was going to receive the funds and provide the services for the Latino MSM population in the Denver metro area. Some of the main findings that we found, there were 6 of them, and number 1 was the acceptance, and these included a lot of acceptance, personal acceptance as being MSM, or acceptance from the family, acceptance from the MSM population, acceptance from the people living in the Denver area, as well as their family acceptance from this population. The other thing that we found that it was prominent was a sense of community. There was a lack of sense of community among the target population that participated on the study, and they talk about the community that they find it to be very important, and it was lacking in the Denver metro area. The next thing, it was a reconciliation of a spiritual life, and that included a little bit more of a cultural values into the programs that were offered in the area, as well as the inclusion of religion as part of the prevention programs that were in the area. The next thing was stability, and that was a little bit more of financial stability. One of the main concerns that the Latino population has is having the money to support the family, having a place to live, and it wasn't really much of the health when it comes to balance. Financial is gonna come first before health. Also support, and it was the lack of support that they needed, and it was social support, family support, and a lot of people felt a little bit isolated when it comes to support for the Latino gay identified community. And the last thing, it was a personal health. Health was an issue that it was recognized and as a need. And when it comes to it, it was feeling healthy, looking healthy, and actually being healthy. That was one of the main prominent themes of concern of the Latino population. When we asked the question of what was some of the major influencing factors of HIV and AIDS risk, the majority of them said substance use. And when we think of substance use, my mind first goes to drugs. In the Latino population, it wasn't drugs. It was alcohol as the main substance use. Then it comes drugs, what they call in the study as partying. So that was one of the findings that we got. The other thing that we found out was the HIV prevention message, it was outdated, and the people, the Latino population, did not identify with the message that it was provided in the area. They said that it was outdated and that it was not speaking to the population. It was not speaking to the Latino community. The third thing that we also an influencing factor was the living, the expectations of the gay lifestyle, and the expectation as they define it was that the Latino gay community were expected to have sex, a lot of sex, with a lot of people, and they were supposed to, that's what we're supposed to do, that's what they said. The other thing is the age differences in perception of the risk. The people over 30, they perceive risk as this is a death sentence, when the youth, they see the risk as you can live with HIV, there's medication now. So there's different perception, and it's not being addressed in the messages that are provided in the Denver metro area. And the last thing was the vulnerability for recent arrivals and undocumented immigrants. And this brought another subject, was the complexity of how to address the issue of, for this specific population. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about it in a moment. But one of the things that we found to be the overall arching finding of this study was that in order to provide a better service to this population, we as providers need to understand the contextual life of this population, the Latino gay men, and all these complexities that embrace this factor. So the four questions that we address, number one was, what services should be in place to be effective for you, for the Latino gay men, gay identified population? And they mentioned all of them, all the groups, all the focus groups mentioned about the need of a hotline, which is interesting because nowadays everyone talks about Facebook and all the social media, but they wanted to have a real person to talk to and ask the questions. So this was one of the main things that they talked about, that they needed having a hotline, having some support group for both people living with HIV and people not living with HIV. Sometimes when we think about prevention, we focus on the people who are not HIV positive. And they wanted to have support groups for people who are living with HIV as well as those who are not living with HIV. They also wanted to have some HIV testing accessible for them. It is perceived that HIV testing is expensive and it is a barrier for them. Even though there's free testing in many places, it was not perceived that way. They wanted to have also mobile services. They wanted these services to be brought to the places where they work, where they socialize, but at the same time, they don't want it to be identified as HIV because HIV has a big stigma in the Latino population as well. They also wanted to have a comprehensive menu of services, not only HIV, not only support groups, but also anything that has to do with health and having being accessible to the community. They also wanted to have some skill building courses, computer classes, ESL, English as a second language, and they wanted to have this information tied up with HIV as well. So not just HIV services, but everything around it, and other non-HIV specific activities. And they all mentioned sports. So it was very interesting, you know, that they wanted to do sports related to HIV. So that was a challenge, but we provide the information to the Department of Health. The second question that we ask is, how should services be delivered? And many people say, you know, that we need the information coming from a natural leader. And this was very interesting because we probed some questions as we asked, you know, what does a natural leader mean to you? And they said, it has to be a person who is honest, who has some trust, that the community trusts this person, who has some credibility, who is professional, who has some ethics, and it's a long list, and is transparent with the community, and is in constant development of their skills. So we took all these notes, and we presented to the Department of Health, but it was very interesting what they define as natural leader. They also said that they wanted to have these services available at non-standard working hours. The main reason is because they're working at those hours. So they wanted to have, after 6 p.m., having these services available, and also on the weekends. They wanted to be open to the mainstream Latino community, not only to the gay community, but also the family of the population, and friends, and having services for those individuals as well. And the other thing that they mentioned was they wanted to be located near the mainstream gay community, but at the same time, they didn't want it to be in the Latino neighborhood. So it was very interesting on the complexity of how they wanted to be these services delivered. The third question that we ask is how can we involve the participants, the Latino MSM population, in the program development? And they provided really good information. Number one, they said messages, it's better if it comes word of mouth. We provide this information to our friends, we invite our friends, and they're gonna provide this information to everyone else. So they're gonna disseminate it this way. It has to be led by motivating peer leaders. They wanted to see the people in the community actually taking the leadership role and providing these services. And when they see this, they can connect with these people. And they thought it was very important for them to have this. They also mentioned they wanted some collaboration with key people to create some networks in the target population. They also wanted to work with established support systems, and that means, you know, school systems, health departments, and all these systems that are already in place, that they wanted to see this collaboration that is happening not only at a agency level, but, you know, outside, working with the health departments and other agencies working together. And that will bring more participation from the target population. They also mentioned that they want some meaningful volunteer opportunities, and that was very important to them. They mentioned that most of the times the volunteer opportunities that they see is, you know, just filing some paperwork, answering the phone, and after a while it gets old, and they don't really want to feel involved in this kind of volunteering opportunities. They want some meaningful opportunities. And some of them mentioned, you know, if you teach us how to provide an HIV 101 for new people in Spanish and in English, we can do it. And if we have the leadership and the mentorship from the agency, we can provide meaningful opportunities for the new people, and that is going to be meaningful to us as a volunteer. That was really important to them. And the last thing is they wanted to recruit well-acculturated individuals, and because the Latino population, some of them are bilingual, not all of them, they wanted to have somebody who's acculturated to the American culture and also to the Latino culture to be able to respond to the needs of the target population. And the last question that we asked, it was, what adaptation would be needed for to implement these programs? And most of them say that there's a little adaptation for those programs that are targeting the US-born or the more acculturated Latino population. But when it comes to the newly immigrants or the people who just recently arrived in the US, there is a lot of complexity that it has to be taken in consideration. And they mentioned that some of the things that needed to be addressed was the marginalization, and deportation was a big issue, stigma, and it was the stigma around being HIV positive, being gay, and being in combination, and being Latino. It's a big issue for the Latino population in this area. And a big one that they mentioned also was the mistrust with agencies who have provided services in the past and have not worked and have not listened to the community, and they wanted somebody who is trustworthy. Also, they wanted to have some non-HIV gay identified services. They want it to be affordable. There's this perception that there's no HIV free testing or HIV services that are free for the community. A lot of people in the Latino community, they do not want to approach any organization because they see it as a governmental organization, and anything that has to do with government, and if you're an immigrant, that's gonna be a red flag for a lot of Latino population who are not legal in the States. They want to have accessible hours. They want to provide family support. You know, if you are messages like saying, you know, if your son is HIV positive, you know, what questions do you have and how we can answer it? Having this hotline that they were talking about for family members is going to be helpful for them. So we So they are creating the sense of community, not only within the gay identified community, but also the families, and that will be integration of the services. Having the testing being anonymous, it's a big issue for the Latino community because they don't want their name put out in a paper, especially if you're an immigrant. So that was a big thing that it was brought up in this study. The use of effective mentors. They wanted to see people from the community who have a good reputation, who are natural leaders, to become mentors for the community and for the Thai population to actually help and build this sense of community. Have cultural and linguistic support, the integration of religious influence, traditions, and art in the services was very important to this population, and include the trusted gatekeepers, and women are one of the trusted gatekeepers that they were mentioned. Women in the family, the aunts, the mothers, the grandmothers, they would have a great in with the Latino gay community. And of course, again, having the hotline. It was very important for them. Some of the conclusions from this finding that JSI put together, it was number one, again, understanding the life complex, the life context of the Latino gay men and its complexities, building and restore a sense of community in the area. It was a big issue for them. Created a specific space for them to be listened to and to share their ideas to then convert it into a program that it would talk to them instead of just bringing a program that we think is going to be best for them and giving them the happy meal that is going to work for them. They wanted to be listened to. They also wanted to add some information and support a hotline for the Thai population and their families, as I mentioned, provide additional learning topics, and that was a big issue for them. And they talked about some opportunities like providing English as a second language and computer classes that it was good for them. And they even suggested, you know, you can teach us how to use a computer and teach us about HIV at the same time. And I'm going to go for the computer classes, but at the same time, I'm learning about HIV. That's one of the things that I said. Facilitate support groups for people not living with HIV, as well as for those living with HIV, and also for their families, for both the not living with HIV and the living with HIV. And the emphasis of a sense of ownership and empowerment and personal responsibility was a big issue for many of them. They said, you come with the program and you tell us what to do, and many of us are gonna go ahead and say, okay, well, I'll do it because you're asking me to do it, but I'm not really taking the responsibility. You are not building some responsibility in me, and I'm not being empowered to take charge of my life. So that was a big issue that they mentioned. And another thing that they mentioned was a generation of relevant prevention messages, a new strategy, and because they have mentioned that the old prevention messages were not being effective, they gave us they provide us a list of what would be effective. And one of the things that they mentioned is put a positive tone on the prevention messages. In the past has been always been fear, based on fear, and we don't want that anymore. We want a positive tone. We want some role models from our community that is going to talk to us. And I'm going to say, you know, I recognize the guy, and he actually is a role model. I want to be like him. And when we see this message, it's going to be more effective than putting always the fear. At the same time, they wanted to have straightforward messages, and they compare it to the meth commercials, the meth ads that are very, very straightforward. And they said, this is what we want to see. Something is straightforward, not beating about around the bush. We want straightforward messages. Also, they want to have inclusive messages for the families. You know, what does it mean, you know, for you to have a son that is gay? What questions will you have? You know, how are you prepared, you know, if one of your kids tell you that he's HIV positive? You know, what kind of support are you going to give to them? So providing the messages also for family members and their friends. They also wanted, they talked about, you know, upgrading to new technology, using Facebook, Twitter, and all those that I don't know about. But they wanted to these messages to be more modern, that speak to them, for those who are more computer literate and those who are just text messaging, which is also one of the big things about the, among the Latino population, is it is the use of media, but the biggest one is going to be text messaging for the Latino population. They also wanted to see some seamless transition with for the services that are provided, not just HIV, but they want to see mental health and how they're collaborating, you know, within agencies. If this agency is not providing mental health, you know, how are you going to transition this invisible transition that I, as a participant or as a user of this service, I'm going to go and see. I'm not going to realize where your agency stopped working with me and when I start working with a new agency. And they wanted to see this. They actually didn't want to see the transition. They wanted to be invisible. And they wanted to be anonymous and confidential when it comes to testing, and they wanted to be free. And the last thing that they mentioned, they also wanted to have offer meaningful volunteer opportunities for them and their families, because the families wanted to be also integrated in this process. And the last thing that we did was that we compiled all this information and we presented to CDPHE, which is the Colorado Department of Health and Environment, and we presented this information. And what we did also was the newly founded organization who was going to provide services for the Latino MSM community were present, and we provided this information, and we actually follow up and said, this is the information that you need to know when you are implementing a new program for the Latino population. These are the things that you want to take in consideration. Of course, it's up to the organization if they're going to implement these suggestions, but the information was presented to them. And if you have any questions, this is the team who was involved in the formative evaluation. I'm Armand Lourdes, so if you have any questions, you can always contact me there. Thank you.